Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
What time did the show start, Chad?
64 minutes ago.
He's coming, dude. How much y'all pay this guy?
I don't know.
He can't do more than one little rejoin? That's the APD talking right there.
That's above my pay grade.
Could you ask our voiceover guy to do more work? APD stuff. Sign the APD.
That's a Michael Garrett question.
713-780-3776. Junior Bronco says we should call our show J-Bone and Bartman Show. It's not bad. Coug Blaze, wait. There's talks of JV coming back here. So Chandler Rowe mentioned in his podcast, he said that he puts it at a higher than 50% chance that he's a Houston Astro. Mm-hmm. And he threw out like $10-12 million for 1 year. I mean, higher than 50% is quite a bit. That's
yeah.
a pretty high number.
Yep. And there was reports last year at the deadline that they were talking about it a little bit, or they were, you know, asking JV about it in San Francisco if he wanted to move on, if they were going to trade him instead of making a playoff push. They obviously kept him. And it sounded like, again, Houston was the only place he would want to go.
Yeah, they should have done it, actually, in hindsight. I mean, yeah. He had 299 ERA. You trade for Verlander, you're probably in the playoffs.
Definitely in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You missed by a game. They're in the playoffs if Verlander's on this team.
Should have done it. This junkie, the best thing about getting Verlander back in Houston would be seeing more of Kate Upton. I think that if you're sending that text to a sports radio show, something tells me that you're not missing out on seeing Kate Upton.
Mm.
Like, if you're so thirsty that you're sending it a text that the best thing about getting Verlander back in Houston would be seeing more of Kate Upton, something tells me that you're already seeing a lot of her.
That makes sense.
You know what I'm saying?
I think this is a good take.
Do you pick up what I'm putting down?
This is good analysis.
You're so thirsty to text that in.
Yeah.
Something tells me that you're probably already seeing enough. Probably too much. Probably too much.
Yeah, probably don't need her back then, honestly.
Yeah.
For your own health.
Yeah, for his own health, his or her. I don't know
that's why I said your.
It's 2025. Houston's very diverse. 713-780-ESPN. Honestly, if the Astros are healthy, I think we're far and away the best team in the league, period. I wish they were lower because then it would pay out more once they win. Shop your books. Chris and Humble, rocket power name stinks, and Verlander never left Houston. He was just vacationing with other teams, Chris and Humble. Of all the major league cities, I don't know if San Francisco would be high on the list.
I don't think so. San Diego
would be up there. L.A., I don't know. Eric the Buyer, I just looked it up. The Tony Hawk episode first aired on September 10th, 2001 on Rocket Power. He knows way too much. JV at 1 year, $10 million would be digestible. I agree. JV coming back to Houston feels like calling your ex. Pete, Rocket Power with your host, Rocket Joe. The whole Verlander thing reminds me that Brett ends up texting his ex every few months.
Yeah, that's a good call, too.
Yeah, but is your ex pitching to a 299 ERA?
No.
Like, if your ex is pitching to a 299 ERA, I question why it's your ex.
Because of what happened the first half of the season?
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Yes, that would cause the breakup. Because he's always going to come here and struggle at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, he's going to
freak out.
He's going to get hurt. He's going to strain his neck, and it's going to be his UCL. The best thing about Verlander would be Kate Upton. We got a lot of perverts to text into the show. 713-780-3776. Rocket Power is fantastic. So it's pretty divisive.
It seems heavily in my favor here.
Heavily?
Yeah.
What kind of lean is this? College football? Notre Dame lean?
Yeah, it is.
I would love to see JV going into the hall.
Test argument.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, eye test.
I would love to see JV going to the hall with an Astros hat on. If we messed around and won another World Series with JV on the team, it would solidify the hat discussion. I don't think so. I think it's very clearly a Tiger.
I think it's their call now. Isn't it? They've changed it. It used to be the players' decision. But I think the hall makes the call on that.
Did it
now?
Used to be the players' decision?
I thought so.
I don't think that's the case. I don't know for sure. I'm not very confident either side of that, actually. But I want to say you're right on the other part of it, that the hall makes the call. I want to say there's a player without a hat. Like, there's like no name on the hat. I almost threw up initially at the Verlander rumor, but then saw his second half of season stacks and was shocked. High two ERAs, I believe. We can get that for $10 million. I'm on board. That's the thing. It's a thing. Verlander might as well bring back Carlos Lee and Miguel Tejada. Bob Ford would say, Carlos Lee! Pete, love JV, but Astros need to replenish their roster with youth. Why would we not ever want a Kate Upton reunion in Houston? My goodness. All you thirsty junkies. If JV wants to come back for the veteran minimum just to try and get 300, I wouldn't be opposed. He's not doing that minimum. I think we're looking at least 10 million. Verlander, not for work. Throw up emoji, poop emoji. All right, 713-780-3776.
Fred McGriff, the player that went to the Hall of Fame without a hat.
I was
without a
right?
Logo. Yep, without a logo, yeah.
I just continue to impress myself.
Yep. It was only,
my goodness, it was only look 2 years Brian, ago. You catch it? You see what I just did? I just dropped a little crime dog Fred McGriff.
Yep.
I didn't know who the player was, but I knew there was a player.
I don't know if that helps how you came off as being old earlier in the show.
No, it didn't help that.
No, it doesn't, just, doesn't help.
Yeah, so he said,
what a pull that was.
More than not knowing
I would have never
Power
said
is.
Fred, though. I would have never said McGriff.
It was a discussion, apparently, with the committee.
Okay, because I think Nolan Ryan discussed he wanted a Ranger hat.
Yeah.
And he's in as a Ranger
hat,
right?
Yeah, his best years were not as a Ranger. No. His best numbers aren't as a Ranger. But I don't know if – do they still have that conversation?
This was 2023, so I would assume yes.
For who?
For Fred McGriff.
He went into 23?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, wow. It took him a while to get in. Because remember, I think he was the guy that hung around forever to try to get the 500 home runs.
Remember, he was the Tampa Bay Ray.
Yeah, he hung around forever to try to get the 500. I think he ultimately came up short of that.
The crime dog.
But still got in, like, years later with the Veterans Committee.
What was that dude's name? The Lemansky? You remember, you don't know the Lemansky videos?
Yes, yes.
Was it Lemansky?
It sounds right, yeah. He was in the video.
You don't know this?
No, Joe's too young for this, but there used to be videos in the 90s, Joe, where there was this hitting coach that would try to sell videos, and one of his big pitches was that Fred McGriff was involved.
Yeah, pull one up there, Brian, if all right, you hold can. On. Tom, oh, you don't God. Know Tom Amansky?
I don't think so.
Oh, my gosh, I am an unk. How do you not know Tom Amansky, Fred McGriff, defensive drills?
I don't know. I don't,
you
don't know.
You never watched Saved by the Bell on TBS and they would have the Tom Amansky, Fred McGriff commercials?
I don't remember that. I never watched.
How old are you? 12 years old?
Well, I didn't watch Saved by the Bell until like later in my life.
The college years?
I think it was over by the time I could watch TV.
Let's take a call while Brian pulls up Amansky. Chip, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Chip?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, all right. I'll try to keep it quick. On the Verlander front, I kind of agree that he'd be tolerable with somewhere between $8 to $10 million. But at the same time, I don't want to ignore the beginning of his season to kind of show the end of his season stats, because the beginning of the season might be the quarterback, the pitcher that he is. And the reason I say that is because Baseball Savant still had his expected BABIP and a bunch of numbers that I don't really know very well. Pretty high, and had him as quoted as one of the luckiest pitchers towards the end of the year. And that was kind of a stat that I ignored when it came to a guy like Christian Javier. And then as the season went on, he started to get blown up. And I'd hate to invest in a guy like Verlander if those numbers are going to show again. He's going to – and eventually it's going to crack. And we got guys who are coming up in the farm system like Ulloa, who kind of needs a chance. And Blue Ball kind of earned the right to – have some extended innings as well. So I kind of wanted to get you guys' thoughts on just kind of trusting what we have. And if we can't get a slam dunk like Peralta or something like that, then should we even be looking at Verlander when we have kind of what we have in our farm system and also on our team already?
Yeah, thank you for the call. I think we have to. The Astros have to. I think you have to add someone that can eat innings, that's proven in the major leagues right now. And I would like it to be more than Justin Verlander, but I mean, his first half of the season ERA, it's fine compared to some of the performances you got from other guys. It's better than Lance McCullers last year.
That's the lowest bar you could pick.
It was better than Arrighetti last year. Arrighetti got a 5.35 ERA last season.
He made like 5 starts.
7, yes, I know. It was better than Colton Gordon last year.
Yeah, but he's a 4A guy. I'm just going to argue every name you say.
What was Verlander's ERA? You said the first half, 4.9?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
I mean, Javier was a 4.62. So like he...
Yeah, he's showing off TJ.
He's throwing off in the Christian Javier conversation. that's pretty much it.
I agree with Chip. No, I don't agree with Chip's point. I think Chip makes a good point, and I do want to give those arms chances. I do want to see them develop, and I think that's where I agreed with. Like, I do want to see what Ulloa looks like at the big league level. I do want to see I liked what I saw too from Blue Ball. Like, is he going to be a starter? Is he going to be a reliever? I think it's a good question. They got a couple, like Pecco is a guy that, you know, I kind of want to see what he looks like at the big league level. But the reality of the matter is we're going to see what those guys look like at the big league level because pitcher injuries happen. And I want depth. Like, how do you not look at this past season? Like, you need depth.
Yes, two seasons.
I mean, I want two starters. I'm greedy. I don't want Verlander to be the best starter you add. I want him to be your number five starter, and I want to go out and get a number two, number three. You mentioned the innings that, you know, it's good to have starters that eat innings. Framber Valdez, 192 innings last year, 176 innings in 24, 198 innings in 23, a league-leading 201 innings in 2022. Like, you're going to need guys to eat the innings. And then you just ran through all of those names. That's going to happen again. And it's not just the Astros. It's the nature of Major League Baseball. So we're going to see those guys regardless, Chip. I just want a starting rotation at the start of the year that looks good, and then you supplement it throughout the year with the names that you brought up. But I'm also excited to see those guys too, Chip. So I don't totally disagree. I just want the organizational depth of a starting pitcher.
Yeah, you got to add a couple pieces. I mean, it's just to handle this offseason the way you've handled the last 2 years would be such a disaster for Dana Brown because you've lost your most reliable, your second most reliable pitcher, your 1A, 1B with Framber Valdez. He's not coming back. I don't think they're really interested. I know there are reports that says maybe they are, depending on the price tag, but like that's a guy who ate innings. You have to replace him with someone who now doesn't eat innings. You need depth on this roster. Verlander helps you provide that.
713-780-ESPN. Astros tie for the fourth best odds to win it all next year. Is that too high? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
All right, but before we go to break, let me talk to you about Old Humble Distilling Company. Odds of you finding a great drink there, 100%, because it is Houston's finest micro distillery. I met with the owner, Joe, back in May, and his company is making the best line of whiskeys I've ever tasted. My favorite is the Boomtown Bourbon, but their Special Reserve and the Double Oak Rye, also very tasty as well. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you start off drinking the big brand names. You know, it's what you see on TV. No shame in that. But I'm here to tell you there's a different way. There's a better option. And making it even better, that option is local to the Houston area. I got tired of the big brands because to me, they all tasted the same. And what their owner, Joe, told me made so much sense when he told me. He was like, why didn't I think of that? They all taste the same because the big brands are all mass-produced. They use the same processes, and they're made in the same area of the country. So, of course, if they all do it the same way, then no wonder they all taste the same. Not at Old Humble Distilling Company, where their process includes better ingredients. It's handcrafted. They even use captured rainwater in the process. They showed us the tanks when we were out there last month for the live remote. They have these huge tanks where they capture the rainwater and then use it in all the whiskeys and spirits they make. And those spirits are aged in barrels as small as 5 gallons to give each bottle an added complexity and deeper character. But find out for yourself by grabbing a bottle at Specs, Total Wine, or finer retailers. Can't find it, just ask for Old Humble Distilling Company by name. And make sure to stop by their tasting room, now open Tuesday through Saturday, 3 to 9, where they have events going on nearly every night of the week. Steak nights on Tuesdays, tonight, and every Wednesday, they have happy hour with $8 cocktails until they close. Trivia nights on Thursday, and date nights every Friday. Go visit their distillery and tasting room at 19103 Continental Parkway, just off FM 1960, and check out their selection of premium whiskeys at oldhumbledistilling.com. Try Old Humble Distilling Company, because life's too short for factory whiskey.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
YouTube TV customers get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. 713-780-3776. As an Astros season ticket holder, I'd put most on them going 500 for the season. I think it'll be better than that. I believe. Do you think that this is too high, Joe? Fourth best odds?
Yeah, I think it's too high. So right now, like their odds are a little all over the place, and sometimes the team's in front of them. But this one has them at fourth at plus 1,300 behind the Phillies, the Yankees, and the Dodgers. This other book has them as the tied for fifth best odds The only team in front of them is the Mets. That wasn't there before. ESPN Bet has them at the lowest at plus 1,200, actually. Hmm. They're tied with the Phillies. So it's clearly Dodgers, Yankees, and the Astros and the Phillies are usually the next two teams mentioned. Yeah. I'm surprised. I'm surprised to see a team that didn't make the playoffs last year be that high.
Yeah, they were banged up, though. They were hurt. Now, they are losing Fromber, more than likely. I like the Astros' chances next year to be a playoff team. I don't love their leadership, though. Like, I think a spot is kind of meh, and I don't really trust Dana Brown to have, like, this dynamite offseason that makes them World Series contenders.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Like, I think they'll be good. I don't know if they have the pitching that's going to be able to run the playoff gauntlet.
Yep. That's my concern, too, and that's where, you know, look, Vegas knows. A lot of time, like, they know whether it's in season, before the season, and the Astros are not one of those teams that gets an odds boost for the playoffs to protect themselves. The Yankees always get, no matter the Yankees, the Lakers, the Dodgers, if they weren't good, like, their odds are always a little bit less because they know that's where the most money is going to come in on those teams. So they always protect themselves. The Astros are not in that category of a team. So maybe Vegas knows the Astros are going to go all in. Like maybe they're going to push in.
That'd
be
fun.
In the chips and go get Cease, go get Verlander, go get a real lefty bat.
I already have a real lefty bat, Joe.
Another lefty bat?
Yeah. That'd be fun. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it. 2787, nice try. Not reading that one. The Astros need to start scouting internationally as well, like how Luno had been doing, like the Dodgers do. I'd rather watch JV pitch than McCullers. Yeah, I mean, that's a low bar, though. I know the talk is all about pitchers, but how long till we see Walker Yannick in the bigs? I think his ETA is 2027. I mean, he didn't get higher than A-ball last year. I think he had a good fall league, but I think he's got to prove it next year.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can go into the season with, like, okay, we're counting on Walker Yannick to at least be a backup catcher by June of 2026. I think you have to have your two catchers, and then, like, if one gets hurt, then maybe Walker Yannick's banging on the door.
I also feel like with where he's at as a development, don't you want to play every day?
Yeah.
So I probably keeps him in Sugarland most of the season. He's got to get to Sugarland first.
Yeah, right.
Like, he's going to probably start in Double A.
I think he would start in Corpus. Yeah,
and then move up, and maybe by the deadline you feel differently. But I would be surprised if he's actively involved in the roster this year.
Yeah, I don't.
Even if they traded Yiner.
Yeah, it would be a summer thing, and it might even be like you're not playing well and you're offloading and you want to see the young guys.
Yeah.
Like it might be you're not playing well, you're sellers at the deadline. Let's see what he looks like the rest of the year at the big league level if he's doing well in the minors. I would buy tickets to see JV pitch. I thought Verlander retired. You thought wrong. I'd rather have Charlie Morton over JV. Pretty sure Morton's going to retire, and he was terrible post-trade deadline. Back-to-back-to-back-to-back AAU national champions. Tom Emanski video. Yeah, he got DFA'd Baltimore traded him. Where did he end up? Was he in
Detroit?
Yeah, he was in Detroit. Detroit DFA'd him.
And so he got to pitch his last start for Atlanta.
Yeah. And everybody's like, well, that was a retirement start. Yeah. They did right by him. Another junkie they can always Google, Kate Upton. That's the point. I think they already are. They're just perverts. Weech draw, the best thing about Kate Upton back to Houston would be seeing Justin Verlander pitch. There you go, Weech. Look, what an adult. What an adult Weech draw is.
Good take.
He's not an immature, perverted child like most of you.
He also only comes to the playoff games, so you got to get to the playoffs first.
Yeah. Yeah, you perverts. Somebody texted in, said, Branham doesn't know rocket power like Joe doesn't know Tom Emanski. I guess that's our divide, Joe and I. But here, Joe, let me learn you something. Here's Tom Emanski with the crime dog back in the day.
Discover the defensive training secrets of America's finest baseball school in an exciting new videotape. This is the professional instructional video that gets results. See how this group of youngsters added an amazing 6 miles per hour to their arm strength while vastly improving their running speed and defensive skills in just a few weeks of work. Baseball World's revolutionary new video features professional scout and instructor Tommy Emanski and the same defensive drills used by Baseball World's back-to-back 1990-91 AAU National Championship teams. Lou Pavlovich Jr., editor of Collegiate Baseball Magazine, calls it a masterpiece.
Masterpiece,
the best defensive
Joe.
Drill video ever produced. San Diego Padres Major League
best
superstar Fred McGriff agrees.
I'm so impressed with the instructional videos by Coach Emanski that I've given them my full endorsement. When you watch them, you'll know why.
Baseball World's defensive drill video makes a great gift and benefits players of all ages and ability levels and improves coaches' practice organization. To order your copy for only $29.95, have your credit card ready and call
$22.95 plus 1-800-352-2121.
Call now and we'll ship today.
Do you remember that, the shipping and handling add-on?
Do you remember what team Fred McGriff had on the graphic as being attributed to, what team he was with at the time?
The Cubs?
It was the Padres.
Oh.
He was the Padres.
He was never a Cub, was he?
He was a Cub.
The thing I remember that sprung to my memory most watching that video game was that drill where they have all the little leaguers in the circle, and they're all without gloves, just batting the baseball back and forth to each other. I don't know if you remember that from the video, but seeing that as I'm playing it, I was like, oh, my God, I remember that.
I remember him doing the finger point at the
camera. Yeah, he does the finger point. But I remember him wearing blue. Right,
he's wearing
blue,
of the video.
Right? You'll see, when you see it, if you go back and watch it tonight.
That, Brian. Watch it tonight?
I don't know.
What? What do you think I do at home?
Not much.
Tom Amansky? When I go to Tom Amansky's commercial?
Oh, that's 60 seconds. You're so busy you can't watch 60 seconds.
What do you think I do at night? I watch Bravo and Dancing with the Stars. I finished a Netflix show yesterday.
What'd you finish?
It's that little rom-com show on Netflix, like Nobody Wants This or whatever. It's about the rabbi that's dating a non-Jewish girl.
So this is a decision from your wife?
Yeah, but it's not bad. Like, if you're looking for a little rom-com, like 30-minute episodes, like little thing to do with the wife at night, it's not terrible. It's not terrible. It's got that Kristen Bell girl in it, I think that's her name.
Kristen Bell.
I'm not good with names.
You say girl, but like she's like in her 40s, so I was a little taken aback by that.
Older than you.
Yeah.
Is she that old?
Yeah, probably, she's older than you.
It's not bad. If you're looking for something, you know, a little cheeky show, 30-minute episodes, a little easy watching. You don't have to be like, you know, dialed in like for some of these dramas.
Mm-hmm. If you do want to be dialed in, Joe is right about Task. Excellent show.
I am watching it. Oh, you're watching it?
Yeah, I'm 3 episodes in so far.
I think I'm about 3 episodes too.
Yeah, it's a good show.
7.8. Nobody wants this on IMDb. 7.8 out of 10. You know what it is on Rotten Tomatoes, Joe? 86%. Again, look, this isn't award-winning television, but if you're looking for a little bit, you know, little
with
short
that Kristen
window.
Bell girl.
Kristen Bell girl's in it. It is Kristen Bell. Adam Brody is the rabbi.
Okay.
He's the rabbi.
Seth I do know these people.
In this season. I just finished it up yesterday. It's okay. It's okay. It's cheap romantic comedy. It's not the worst thing in the world. That's what I'm doing, Brian. I'm not watching Tom Amansky videos.
Can't take 60 seconds to see what drill I'm talking about. You got a commercial break coming up. Watch it.
Does Joe know what Dare is?
Yes. Yes.
Do you know who McGruff the Crime Dog is?
Yes.
Okay.
I remember that.
Do you remember the Smokey the Bear commercials?
Yes. We went through Dare in, like, what was it, like third grade?
Don't do drugs.
Yeah.
Now you do the Fred McGriff point for everything now. You should add that to all your live reads, the point.
Walker, Correa, Paredes, Pena, Altuve, Myers, Smith, Yiner, Yordan, plus depth. Astros, if healthy, are scary, top to bottom. Yeah, they...
Time out. Is this saying Christian Walker lead off?
No, he's going positionally.
Okay.
Not to buzzkill, but at least... One third of that is not scary. Like they named off the full line, like a third of that is definitely not scary.
What's the one third?
Jake Myers.
Myers
Cam
had
Smith.
A plus offensive season, and he's batting in the bottom of the order.
Yeah, it's not scary though. Cam Smith, and then obviously Christian Walker. Although Christian Walker, if you look,
what
at
are you just, saying? Cam Smith is booty.
I'm kind of saying that,
cheeks.
Yeah. But if I mean, I know, like if Christian Walker kind of had the Jose Abreu where he made the home run and RBI number look nice at the end of the
RBIs.
Year,
there's
but like when you watched them all season, like he wasn't a plus player.
There's nothing that annoys me more about Brian, and there's a lot of annoying things.
Remember when it used to be said that I agree with you on everything?
Oh yeah.
It feels like that's flipped now. I feel like we agree on a lot versus Jeremy.
Because I never agree with Jeremy on everything.
No, it's always you've never agreed.
No,
we've always been
a
hater. There was a Dare song. I think it's on YouTube, Jaybert.
I don't want to Google that.
Yeah, it's we've played enough old stuff. 300 Myers, Brian. 300, Brian.
All batting average. Quitting seven, batting Brian. Average now.
Always like the infomercial
like old...
said something like you can pay with 4 easy payments of $49.95. Like, what's the alternative? 3 easy payments and 1 incredibly difficult payment?
That's a joke from Mitch Hedberg that he ripped off, yes.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, the text are ripped off of Mitch Hedberg joke. But I appreciate it because he was a great comedian.
Who's your favorite stand-up comedian right now?
Active?
Yeah.
Probably Nate Bergazzi.
I like him a lot. He's good.
I'm a Burke guy. I love Burke.
The
Kreischer.
Guy without the shirt?
Yeah. Burke Kreischer.
I love Burke.
He's
Kreischer.
A little too bit slapstick for me.
He's him and Tom Segura are my
slapstick's
top
not
two.
The right word for
yeah.
that.
Well, you like, pick Tom Segura because you look like Tom Segura.
I do?
You don't remember that. We made that joke a lot a long time ago.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's my favorite too, Brian. But you know, Nikki Glaser.
Oh, she's great.
She's my favorite roaster. Her stand-up is not fantastic.
She's great as like a guest.
Yes.
Or in like, yeah, exactly. Kind of small bites.
Elite roaster. My TikTok is nothing but Nikki Glaser roasts right now. That's my algo at the moment. Nikki Glaser just roasting random people. It's hilarious. All right, 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to our mailbag. We've been doing it on Wednesday. Mailbag Wednesday with Jeremy and Joe. What's your question for us? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. I'll start off the festivities. What is your favorite drink right now, Branham? That's easy. It's Higgins Boat Rum. You need to get your hands on one of these. It's rum on a mission. Higgins Boat Rum is known as the Texas Bourbon Drinker's Rum. It is bold. It is smooth. It's also steeped in history. Honors the greatest generation. Tip our cap to that. Raise our glass to that. Perfect on the rocks. Perfect to sip neat. It's also perfect for crafting your Texas-inspired cocktails. Try your old-fashioned with it, too. That's really good. Try your Manhattan with it. Pina colada, if you want to go back to the classics. A little Mai Tai. Cuba Libre, too. It's perfect with all of them. Perfect. Eggnog season now, if that's your thing. Higgins Boat Rum pays tribute to our military heritage, named after the iconic landing craft that turned the tide in World War II. Higgins Boat Rum donates 10% of profits from every bottle to Camp Hope to support our veterans. So you're honoring heroes with every bottle. Higgins Boat Rum uses the Prosecco craft technology too, which we've all grown to love. Makes it smoother, enhances those natural flavors and aromas, and also gets rid of the harsh elements that make you feel bad in the morning. Follow Higgins Boat Rum on all of their social media accounts. You're going to get tasty cocktail ideas. You're going to get behind the scenes stories, live updates as well. They're going to be out at Rice Stadium on Saturday too for homecoming. They're going to have a fantastic Higgins Boat Rum tailgate. Look for them, hang out with them. I'm sure they'll take care of you. A premium top shelf rum at a great price. Get your bottle now at Total Wine in Baybrook or at HigginsBoatRum.com. Shipping to 48 states across the U.S. at HigginsBoatRum.com. Bring home a bottle of courage.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Mail call!
Mailbag with Jeremy and Joe.
You've got mail.
Mailbag Monday on a Wednesday, Jeremy and Joe, 713-780-3776. What is your question for us? 713-780-3776. Pete says Nikki Glaser's diss on Gronk and crypto on Brady's roast was epic. Even Gronk knows that's not real money. Boo. Oh, yeah, Big Boo. Me know that not real money. Remember that?
Yeah.
Even Gronk knows it's not real money. Me, no, God, not real
and Big Boo.
I love Gronk so much.
He's the best.
My favorite one was whenever she was talking about the diet program and was like, it is so strict, but if you follow it exactly like he does, you too can lose your family. Like, so much family.
And clone your dog.
Oh, man, I need to go back and watch that again. That was hilarious. All right, 713-780-3776. Mailbag question, Jeremy and Joe. In the light of the blockbuster Sauce Gardner trade, if a team called for C.J. Stroud, what compensation would make you consider making the trade, Jaybird?
Three firsts and a player? But I also have to be in a position to get a quarterback I like.
Yeah, that's a problem. If you trade Stroud to a team who then becomes good,
yeah,
those picks are maybe in the 20s. Like, see, you're not getting a quarterback.
I think you can win it all with Stroud if you build a good enough team around him. I don't think he's not gonna like Pat Mahomes. Josh Allen, Lamar haven't won a Super Bowl. I don't think they ever will. But those guys lift you, you know, like they level you up. I don't know if Stroud levels you up 2-3 tiers, but I do think that C.J. Stroud is capable of winning a Super Bowl. You keep a clean pocket, keep him upright. Don't let him run and botch slides to where he gets his whiplash in the back of his skull, banging on the NRG turf. I think he's capable of winning it all. And if you have a quarterback that is capable of doing that, I don't want to trade that guy. So it's hard for me to listen to any offers, and I don't think there would be an offer realistic that is out there for me to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it'd have to be at least three firsts, a really good player, but you'd have to be in position to then get a quarterback that you really like.
It might even be like a Detroit trade with the Rams, where it's like, okay, they're out on Goff, but I still really like him. I think that we can win a lot of games with him, to where it's quarterback swap and you throw in two first-round picks.
Yeah.
Something like that. Actually, that's what it would take to require. It would require for me. Like, I would need another quarterback that I still like. Not just any quarterback either. Like, it can't be Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
Like, it needs to be a quarterback that I like, that I still think I can win a lot of games with, and maybe even capable of winning it all. That's what it would take for me, because they're so hard to get your hands on a good quarterback. So hard.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want to even go like the rookie route. Like, I wouldn't want to like have the Saints be like, hey, if you love Mendoza, we'll give you the first this year, three first, and Chris Olave to take on CJ Stroud. Like, you have to have a veteran quarterback you'd want to acquire.
Yeah, I think so too.
Like, if you believed in like JJ McCarthy, three first and JJ maybe.
Come on.
But I'm not a believer, so no.
Come on.
What about Goff?
Hey, he's a little older, though.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to have him for as long.
Yeah, I don't think there's really a trade for CJ that makes sense unless he demands a trade. But those are different scenarios.
Or if it's somebody that you love at number one, you know? Like, if the Jets had the number one pick and you're in love with Mendoza and, like, you're a little undecisive if you want to pay CJ Stroud $50 million a year, $60 million a year. Hey, Jets, give me the number one overall pick that you're about to have in three of your first rounders.
Yeah, you could just rebrand this offseason.
Yeah. I mean, now obviously this is unrealistic.
Yeah, you could sign Breece Hall. And then you could trade CJ Stroud for three first-round picks and Brock Purdy and just become the Houston Cyclones.
Come on.
Our three Iowa State receivers, a quarterback, and a running back.
I mean, it is one of the finer college football conferences that we have the great honor of witnessing. If you could change the result of one game in sports history, which one are you changing?
One game?
That's the question, Joe, yeah.
The Bears Super Bowl for me?
Sexy Rexy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of all went downhill after the Devin Hester return.
Yeah, man, it's not good. It's the only one for me. It's the one game.
Brian. Pump the brakes.
I wasn't answering. I'm just thinking out loud.
Last year's national championship game.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
No, it's without batting an eye. Yeah, still too soon, by the way. Thanks for the question.
What about what was the Michigan game? Would you consider that one?
That was the second round. Now, yeah. Michigan did go to the national championship game that year. I mean, they had a run.
Was that the team
underrated.
Was that the Rob Gray team?
Yes.
Yeah. I love Rob Gray.
They had freaking Jordan Poole. Freaking Jordan Poole. I don't know what happened to the pin that was in my hand. Landed about five rows deep.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He just hit it backwards?
I don't do that stuff. I don't really react much. But, yeah, he hit the shot. I slung that thing in the air. I don't know. It might not have come down.
Might have hit somebody.
It was like
the
Albert Pujols home run. I have no idea
where that came at?
I think it was in Wichita.
If you were at Wichita.
It was either Wichita or Tulsa. I get them confused.
If you were in Wichita or Tulsa, lost an eyeball to a pen, this is your lawsuit.
Yeah.
I mean, they make all those arenas at the tournament look the exact same.
Yeah.
So I don't really know like where we're at. A lot of it becomes pretty fuzzy at times. It has to be kind of special. Like I'll never forget the Alamo Dome because there was 55,000 scarlet and white.
Yeah,
you know? I see what you did there. You'll never forget the Alamo Dome.
I actually was unintentional. I'm just naturally funny.
Such a liar.
I didn't mean to do that.
You said 6-7 times.
I did not mean to do that.
You went to a live read yesterday.
I promise you, I did not mean to do that. I mean, I talk
about two creeks and I heard 6-7.
I did not mean to do that. What is your one game? Garrett Gilbert, Brian?
It was between that and the Michael Crabtree game. It's a tough decision.
Oh, yeah, the Crabtree
but
game.
I guess the assumption there would be if Crabtree doesn't go in, they then win the national title. But I guess I'd just have to actually pick the national title game. Colt doesn't get hurt and then that game gets reversed.
Was that Graham Harrell?
Yes.
Okay. 19 World Series Game 7. That's a good answer. Game 7 versus the Nationals.
Definitely.
Go-to protein for nachos, Joe.
Brisket.
Oh, wow. That's next level. I wasn't thinking outside the box
They're very good. But typically, I like chicken.
I would probably... What?
I go brisket than steak.
Brian, you wait your turn.
No.
My favorite nachos are from Mexican places. So I always go beef fajita.
And I'm Mexican.
Beef fajita. There's not anything better than a beef fajita on a nacho.
I've never done that at a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why.
I might have to try.
I usually do it for lunch when I'm trying to eat a little lighter.
good idea.
It's actually true, but, you know. Yeah, no, beef fajita for me. Rockets game 7 against Golden State with no Chris Paul. Rockets game 6 versus the Warriors. Game 7, 19 World Series. I said 21, but I meant 19. What is an obstacle you thought as a kid would be much more prevalent as an adult? I used to think I'd have to constantly be on the lookout for quicksand, the Bermuda Triangle, and the Yellowstone Volcano. That's a great question.
I think quicksand's the answer.
Quicksand's really? A great answer.
Yeah.
I thought it was everywhere.
You know what? Whenever I was like 4 or 5, and I don't know why this like sticks with me. Maybe because I was like 14 or 15. I remember hearing my mom talking to my uncle and saying, you have to be careful on this road because it turns into this road. And you, it's just like you're on a highway and like you all of a sudden you enter like the exit and like you go from 59 to the loop without really knowing. I used to think whenever I was very, very young that like we literally went from one highway to like another.
What, you got teleported?
Yeah. Yeah. I was very young, like 4 or 5. But she was like, yeah, it turns into this road. And I was like, whoa, no, what does that mean? What are we going to do? But she was like, you know, highway turns into another highway.
Yeah.
That was always one that like stuck with me forever. And whenever I realized it, I was like, oh. What an idiot you are, Branham. And it was, you know, and then I turned 32. Saints versus Rams playoff game in 18. All right, enough of these. What are your questions? 713-780-3776. People are answering the questions. We don't care about your answers. We want your questions. My sister is turning 18 tomorrow. What can I get her for a present? I don't know her that well.
Maybe the gift of being in her life?
I'm not sure that's something that she would want.
Okay, maybe not.
I don't know. If you don't know her, what are we supposed to say? We don't even know who she is.
I mean, she's 18. Just give her cash.
Okay, yeah. What else do you want? An 18
gift card, I guess.
Cash? Yeah, gift. I don't. I think I'm anti gift cards.
Well, you could give a Visa gift card.
I'm anti gift cards. I don't know.
Why,
I don't
why
like
is a gift card less than cash?
I read a study where like 30% of gift cards are never used. So I think it's a waste. I think it's a waste of money.
When we just moved,
but what's the difference between having a $50 gift card and a $50 in cash?
It feels like you,
what would you rather have? You're just arguing to argue right now, Brian. What would you rather have?
It feels like you went through a tiny bit more effort.
Not answering me.
Do you want a gift card or cash?
It wouldn't matter to me.
It's the same effort, though. The perception might be different, but yes, it's the same effort. It's the same effort.
Well, the perception's different. That's kind of the whole thing.
You might be right on that. That's a fair counterpoint. I mean, I'd rather have the cash.
I would rather have the cash. Just because I feel like gift cards, people buy you for gift, like buy gift cards for you or get gift cards for you that sometimes you don't really like those places. And
well, that's why you just go with like the Visa card or something.
That's the best option of a gift card. But now what you're doing is you're just trying to match the money.
I know.
Like, so you're just give them the money.
You're trying to give the perception that you put a little more effort
in. But the pro with the Visa gift card, though, is that since so many people do their shopping online now, that you it's easier to do it that way, even though
that's a good pro.
Like you still take the cash at the bank, and it still works the same way, but you don't have to go to the bank now to deposit it.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
that's a good point on that. I usually don't carry cash. I just don't, and I always like the cash.
I don't carry cash.
No, I have this phone now where it's kind of like a wallet. I don't even carry a wallet anymore.
Oh really?
No, I don't have a wallet on me. I get this. I do this little flap. It's got room for my card, my driver's license, and my debit card. That's all I carry. All I care. I'm a minimalist. I admit that I'm a minimalist. I don't like stuff. I don't like stuff on me. I don't like carrying extra things. I don't wear any jewelry. I don't like to buy things. I'm a minimalist. So I think I would take the cash because I never have it. 713-780-3776. Corey, I asked this a couple months ago, but there was confusion. All-time starting five with your favorite players, not to win the most.
I remember the confusion.
Yeah.
With your favorite players?
Your favorite five. Mine would be Olajuwon, Yao. Probably Tracy McGrady. I love Tracy McGrady. Probably, like, not proportionally. I love Steve Nash. And then give me Larry Bird. I think Larry Bird's criminally underrated.
This is hard.
Just give me the Bulls championship starting five, Joe.
I was trying to think of like the players I remember watching.
I know you're starting five. Jordan.
Nope.
Rodman. Pippen.
No.
Luke Longley.
You gotta get Derek.
Tony Kukoc.
You get Derek in there, at least.
Oh, yeah. You're a Derek Rose guy.
Yeah. Derek, Kobe.
Josh Giddey.
He's playing great. Derek, Kobe. Dirk. Shaq. I don't know who else.
Yeah.
What's wrong with Shaq? Give me Iverson. Throw Iverson in there.
A little crossover.
Yeah.
Did you name too many?
No, I named five. You're five.
I think you might have named six, but we could check the tape.
Derek, Derek, Kobe, Shaq, Dirk, Iverson.
Dirk?
Yeah.
Hated Dirk.
I love Dirk.
Dirk was one of those dudes that I hated, but I also like respected.
Yeah.
And like I like him post-retirement. That's the same way I felt about Jordan. I hated Jordan the player. mostly because he was so good and I was like envious and jealous, but then loved him post-retirement. Kobe. Hated Kobe. Hated Kobe. He killed the Rockets. Hated Derek Jeter.
Mm-hmm.
Hated him. But then you respect him after their career's over. All right, 713-780-3776. Do you guys miss Bill O'Brien? Bill O'Brien's in the news.
He is?
I kind of miss Bill O'Brien. I'll tell you why next. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. YouTube TV customers get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN, to get ESPN back.
ESPN 97.5.
Back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
YouTube TV customers get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Do you miss Bill O'Brien? I miss Bill O'Brien press conferences. He had one yesterday. Look, I mean, they just had their best result of the year. If you ask the college football committee, what was Boston College's best result? It was last week's loss to Notre Dame. Convincingly, yeah, they've only won one game. I guess, what was this guy's name? Like Mark or something? Mike? I don't know. Some reporter at Boston College asking Bill O'Brien some negative questions, and Teapot Bill, his alter ego, showed up.
Coach, I'm wondering, do you have a message for the fans? Obviously, losing to Notre Dame Catholic school rival, 1-8 now in season BC. I've heard from a lot of fans.
I'm really glad. I'm glad you're down. I'm not down. Nobody's down. We're fighting. We're competing. You know, it's the second year of this program, Mike. You always come in here with these down questions. Like, you show up like once a month or something like that. You come in here with these down questions. I'm not down. I don't know what year you graduated from BC. But this is a program that we're building. Okay. Nobody here's down. We're positive. We're going to show up and play our asses off against SMU. You can go out there in your dark, clouded world or whatever it is and do what you want to do. We're not down. The sun is up, and we're fighting. That's my message to the fans. What's up, Trevor?
What's up, Trevor? What's up, Trevor?
What's up, Trevor?
That might be his best rant ever.
Ah.
It's up there. It's at least on the podium.
My favorite parts of the Bill O'Brien blow-ups, Teapot Bill, is they really make no sense. They oftentimes make no sense. I don't know what year you graduated from Boston College. How is that pertinent? What is relevant about that question?
If he even went to BU.
He's just starting to like...
He did.
He did go to BU.
Yeah. He loses his temper and he loses his like mind and just starts like saying like random things. Like the "you suck." "You suck too!" Cool, Bill. He gets mad and like loses all train of thought.
Yeah, I think he just gets the teapot is really, it's so true. It's the perfect name for him because he just explodes for no reason. It's a lame question because who cares about the fans, honestly, like in the message to them. But like, he just got so mad at this guy. I love, he's like, "You're here once a month.
Your black clouded world.
The sun is up. We're positive." What's up, Trevor?
What's up, Trevor?
But he's well, the best of Bill O'Brien, Teapot Bill. Here was the Lance Zierlein famous story of Bill O'Brien.
What's up, Trevor? That's how it sounded when he was on the phone with me. When he called, when I asked questions about why would they take on David Johnson's contract.
Yo, why are you so mad?
Why are you so negative? Look, I don't even know what... honestly, I don't even know what you do, Lance. Like, what do you do? What do you do? I know I'm not trying to offend you, but I don't even know what you do. Well, you were on my radio show just a few months ago.
Was that you?
You and I talk about, we text back and forth about draft and draft prospects and where guys could go. So I like that Jack Easterby's in the car with you because Jack was probably driving because Billy had a few at this media get together where we were all supposed to slurp and guzzle away, and most of the media did their job and guzzle, guzzle, guzzle.
Wow.
Because Billy was, this is a rebrand. They're trying to do a rebrand. It's during COVID, by the way. And we were at Armadillo Palace or whatever it is. And He was like, these guys were like, you're so excited to talk to Bill. And I'm like, what are you clowns smiling and giggling about? They just did some terrible moves. I mean, just awful moves. And we haven't been able to talk to, and no one's been able to ask questions. I was there. I'm like, I'm going to ask a question. Why did you only get that return for DeAndre Hopkins? Why take on a bad running back contract when you can find running backs? He was so mad. Called me. And I know Jack Easterby was in the car with him. Like, hey, you know what's a great thing? Just tell him you don't even, like, demean him. Tell him you don't even know who he is and you don't even, like, find ways to just say, hey, you don't even know this guy. Like, who is he? What's he do? So Jack thought he was slick.
How do you text them if you don't know their name?
Yeah. You just put some type of.
He knew my name because he said, hey, No. He knew my name. What? He said, I thought we were good. I thought we were good, Lance. What was today when you were all mad? What were you so mad about? Lance.
I remember hearing about this media thing when it happened. Were you invited to that?
No. No, I'm not a journalist, Joe.
No, well, Lance isn't a journalist.
Yeah, he's a journalist.
Is he? He's an analyst. Well, he was a journalist.
I mean, in that capacity, he was being a journalist.
I guess. Well, I mean, yeah, there. But, like, it was such a big deal because I remember so many media members were so upset. Then they heard about what was happening there. They got even more upset. He's right because it was just like a, as he said, a guzzle fest.
Yeah, I don't remember that many people like being happy with the Texans either at that time. That's funny.
It was a disaster.
That's funny he called them. It's funny to me.
And he's known to do that. He called Paul Gallant a couple times, too.
On the phone?
Yeah, on the phone. Like, apparently, there was a few times where Bill O'Brien kind of blew up at Paul, and then a few hours would go by, and Bill would calm down, and he would call Paul and apologize. And
oh, apologize.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. What do you even do?
that's
why are you calling me?
One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
Here's a couple more of the Bill O'Brien best blow-up moments.
Bill, the day after you traded Hopkins, he told Michael Irvin that you had had a conversation with him in which you brought up Aaron Hernandez and said it was the first time you'd had a conversation with a player like that. Why was it necessary to talk to Hopkins and bring up Hernandez?
Yeah, I would say, John, I have no comment on that.
All right.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that one really either.
Also during COVID, you could hear Bill being on Zoom.
Remember the draft? Whenever like they didn't get the pick
he
in,
blew up.
He was like, "You pick an Easterman." Oh, yeah. He did not work like a multi-line phone. Mm-hmm. That was hilarious. What else you got back there, Brian? I'm best of Bill O'Brien.
Bill, after watching the film, did you see what Ross Blacklock did to get ejected? And have you talked to him about it?
Yeah, I've spoken to him, and I didn't see it on the tape. So, but you know, I know that it happened. So, yeah, I've spoken to him.
What happened?
I mean, I've spoken to him, Sarah. So, you know, it's you guys can watch it too, right? You have the TV copy.
Oh, man.
That's harsh.
Yeah.
That's harsh. I think he punched someone in the face.
Who was that?
Ross Blacklock.
Oh.
He punched someone and got ejected.
Yeah, I mean, I get where Bill's coming from there. Like, what do you want him to say?
It's just the tone that he takes is always kind of the
he thing. Probably feels like the media's out to get him. Like coaches always feel that way. He got mad at me twice. O'Brien did, because once upon a time I was a journalist, Joe, the young Branham, whippersnapper journalist. The first one was whenever they were about to play Case Keenum. I don't know where. Maybe it was Minnesota. I don't remember where Case was at. But Case wrote a book, and he said that Bill O'Brien, like, when he cut him, he's like, yeah, you can't play in this league. Like, you're no good. We're going to cut you. And Case was very honest in his book about it. And I asked Bill, I was like, do you recall that conversation? He's like, no, I don't recall it. I guess I'm going to have to buy his book off of Amazon.
I remember that.
And that was actually the last question. He, like, stormed off. And then the other one was they had a winning streak. I think they started the 1 year, like, 0-3.
It was 2018.
And they won 9 in a row?
Yep. That's correct.
So they were 9-3. They were playing a home game, I want to say against the Colts. And maybe the Broncos. It might have been the You Suck 2 game. I don't remember who they were playing. Colts, Broncos, they were 9-3. They had won 9 in a row. Things were looking good. Momentum was looking good. And they came out stale. And they were no good that day.
I think it was
they
the Broncos.
They were really,
game.
Really bad that day. And the crowd was booing them. Like, they were booing their offense every time they came off the field for, like, the last 9 minutes of the fourth quarter. Last 9 minutes of the game, they were booing. So I asked Bill O'Brien what he thought about the reaction. And he didn't answer me. So we got to have better questions than that. And then he moved on. He got mad at me twice.
Bill it did. Seems like the fan part of it is what bothers him. Because that triggered him there. And then this interaction here is about the fan reaction and him being upset about that. Seems to really get to him. Then the You Suck Too.
Yeah.
Going after fans.
He didn't like it. You Suck Too! Yeah, I think it was the same game.
Yeah, I think the USUC 2 was a Broncos game, so I think that's one and the same.
I say it was the same game. Yeah, he didn't like that. He didn't like, well, we got to have better questions. He big leagued me, Bill O'Brien. He did to me what Lance did kind of indirectly.
You or
what
more, Bill O'Brien did to Lance.
Yeah.
Calling an ugly win, obviously the Titans, and especially without their starting quarterback. This is not a high-quality team.
Well, that's for you guys to, that's up to you guys. I don't get into all that. I know that anytime you win in the National Football League, it's not easy. And so I think that, you guys can dissect the game however you're going to do it. I'm just telling you that I think that's a great win for our team, and our team is very happy about it.
Yeah.
It's a bad question.
The son is, it was Jerome.
I think it's a fair answer.
Called the Titans, a non-quality team?
Yeah.
I mean, coaches, it is hard to win in the National Football League. I like
never,
that part of it.
Never apologize for a win.
Sun is up for positive.
Apologize. Yeah. Time management is not my job. That was a good one. It's not my
job.
What's up, Trevor? I miss Bill O'Brien's offense. Seems so much easier to move the ball. The butt chin was a good coach, but had his crash outs. But no, I do not miss him. I recall a TV announcer referred to O'Brien as the quarterback whisperer early in his Texans head coaching run. I mean, Deshaun Watson had his best years with O'Brien.
Yep.
Hoyer, Fitzpatrick had some good years with O'Brien.
Basically everyone but Brock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just wasn't good.
No, he was just a step below.
I mean,
everybody.
That might have been his best year, though.
Brock? No, yeah. he had a semi-decent year that year before.
He played in three games, though.
No, I think he started closer to eight.
I don't know if it was that many.
Well, we can fact check it, I guess.
Yeah,
Bill O'Brien's still one of the most successful coaches to transition from college to the NFL. If you look at the win-loss record.
Oh.
He's up there.
Yeah. O'Brien traded hot. I will never miss that dude. Fair point. I miss Bill O'Brien's chin. All right.
Doesn't matter, Brian.
780-3776. O'Brien had crash outs with the media. There's no doubt about that. D'Amico, meanwhile, scoffs at the media. Where do we get D'Amico scoffing today when he met with the media? 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know what these coaches, they get annoyed with pressers? You know what they want to do? They get annoyed with these media members. You know what they want to do? You know what they need to do? They need to get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. They're going to be more peaceful. They're going to be happier whenever they do it as well. So are you. So get on out there. Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing, great outdoors. Book your stay, twocreekscrossingresort.com. They got open green spaces that you're going to love. They got wildlife you don't see in the city. Just beautiful nature. Isn't it great to get out sometimes? If you like to fish, they got some of the best fishing in Texas, too. The two creeks that run alongside their property. They got the big catch and release pond in the middle of the property, which is great for the kiddos, I think. You can't beat it. It's only 90 minutes from Houston, too. You don't have to wait 6-7 hours at the TSA to go through the line and board a plane. You don't have to drive 6-7 hours across the state. No, you're there in 90 minutes. You're at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston in an hour and a half. Hike there, 92 acres of property. Do some kayaking. Play some pickleball. Hang out by the pool with a drink. They got glamping out there. You're going to love it. They got beautiful cabins, too, right on the creek. It's fantastic. They have a treehouse out there. We stayed in the treehouse. Family had a lot of fun. You're going to love your stay. You have an RV? Pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for everybody. Plus, they're always taking care of their visitors. This weekend's a Veterans Day weekend. Bonfire and s'mores on Friday. An outdoor family movie. And then on Saturday, they got kids craft. They got kids activity. They got some live music. And as always, you can watch your college football at Swampers. You're not even going to miss the big game. And right now, from November through February, you're going to get 40% off all cabin rentals and 20% off nightly RV stays. It's the 40-20 discount, perfect for relaxing by the fire or exploring the beautiful outdoors. Find them on social media, Facebook and Instagram at Two Creeks Crossing Resort, and you may even get a free stay. So book your stay now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
ESPN 97.5.